This week's podcast comes to us from Amber via email. Lisa, I have been listening to your podcast now for about 2 months, starting from the beginning. Prior to your podcast, I believed that I was organized, and people have often come to me for advice in how to organize their homes, their offices, etc. However, after listening to your podcast, I can say that I am truly amazed at how much your organization ideas have helped me and given me practical ways to manage my crazy life. I am a wife, mom of two. My husband and I are active in the church. I am a high school teacher, and we help take care of my aging in-laws. Things get crazy, and I have often felt like I was going to lose my mind. But thanks to you for taking the time to put all of this, the printables, Sunday basket method, and the podcast together, I can spend more time doing what I love, and that is being with my family and actually being present. Thank you so much for your email, Amber. Do you have an organized 365 success story? We would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at lisa@organized365.com and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Oh my goodness, I have an exciting big announcement. It's actually our biggest announcement of 2019. We have payment plans. The number one request coming into my email is, can you please create a plan for me? I want to get started. I just don't have the funds right now. Can you please make a plan for me? And we have. For just $96 a month, you can now join us in the next round of the 100-day home organization program that starts May 13th. And for those of you who want the whole kit and caboodle, we have an all-access payment plan starting at $186 a month. Head on over to organize365.com right now to check out all the packages and plans. And now, on with the show. What does it look like to live an organized life? I think this surprised me so much, and I'm finding so many of you who have been through the 100-day program three times are in the same place I am, and I have never really addressed this on the podcast, but I think it's time to. What do you think living an organized life looks like? So here's what I used to think. I used to think living an organized life was like Martha Stewart with all perfect containers in the background and angelic children and, I don't know, taking walks with your puppy outside. I don't know what I thought, but it is different living an organized life than what I pictured living an organized life would be. I often tell you I am a functional organizer. If you're looking for perfection, if you're looking for everything to match, I am not your ideal. This is not what you would want to be looking at. But my house is very organized. So funny, my husband says it's not, and I think because he is a perfectionist, but he gave it up and for Lent and never took it back 1 year. I think you're never going to have everything that you want just perfect. And you could probably make yourself nuts trying. And what I've finally realized is that perfection is really boring. It's not only not attainable, it's kind of boring. Like, so there's someone I know who is a perfectionist, and they're always bettering things that are already perfect. And they're actually just bored. Like, their house is perfect. Their life is perfect. Their finances are perfect. They have a perfect life. And they're bored. And I also find that once you live an organized life, you can quickly get bored as well. So what does an organized life look like? Sometimes boring. What? Why would I want it then? Like, I don't want to be bored, but I also don't want to be overwhelmed and cluttered. So are you telling me, Lisa, I'm going to spend all this time and money, and at the end, I'm going to be bored? Yes, but you're not going to stay bored. But at first, living an organized life is boring. Because think about it, you guys, think about it. You are overwhelmed and you're decluttered. So what are you doing right now? You are organizing. You're decluttering. You're organizing. You're shopping. You're doing all kinds of projects. And when you're done, then what? What have you thought about what it's going to be like when you're done? Like, I have repainted my children's rooms 5 times, but like, I'm not done parenting, but I'm kind of done parenting. Like, I have a 17-year-old and a 19-year-old. Like, I'm kind of done. How many times can you repaint their rooms? Like, Joey's off to college and he's done. He's good. I know I'm homeschooling Abby. That takes a lot of time. It does. It doesn't take as much time as I thought it would take. It does take time. I have so much time. Living an organized life is a lot of time. Let me read you some of the questions people have been asking me. Someone says, I want you to address the realistic expectations for what organized look like and maybe what it looks like in each stage of life. What does an organized life look like in each stage of life? Functional organizing means everything has a place and everything's in a place. It means that you don't have too little or too much based on whatever your standard of too little or too much is. I'm not a minimalist. Although at this point, I would say we're getting kind of close. I'm not a minimalist. I have stuff. Everything has a place. And pretty much it stays there because I just realized I've moved into a new phase of life. I'm moving into that empty nest phase of life. I'm not totally there yet, but we just moved Abby to the basement. So yeah, we're getting pretty close to being there. This transition over the last 7 years has been leaving survival and into downsizing and legacy. I'm 47, but I'm already in the downsizing and legacy phase of life. So the Lisa Woodruff phases of life are childhood 0 to 21, accumulation 22 to around 35 to 40, survival, which is 40 to about 55, and then downsizing and legacy. And I pick those arbitrary times based on usually when you have kids and what you're doing in those life stages. So childhood 0 to 21, you're usually under your parents' direction. You usually have a childhood bedroom home. If you leave home at 18 and you have your own apartment, then you move into accumulation faster. If you stay home and you live at your parents' house until you're 30, you move into accumulation slower. But accumulation usually starts around 22, and accumulation is when you have moved out on your own, or at least mentally moved out on your own, and you're accumulating houses and spouses and kids and jobs and everything. Like, everything you do in your 20s involves going to Target 100%. Like, you get an apartment and then you realize you don't own Windex, a mop, a broom, a vacuum, anything. Like, just moving Joey to college, I was like, oh wow, we need to buy a lot of stuff. Or you have your first child. Again, you don't realize you don't have all of the things that go with a child or 2 children, or you get married and you, all of these things are, your entire 20s and early 30s are realizing you don't have stuff and going out and acquiring that stuff. And as soon as you bring that stuff into your house, where does it go? Where does it live? And then is your house too small? Is it too big? It's all about this acquiring stuff management, especially if you have children. And I've said this before, people always like me to re-say this. If your children are under 5, if you have a single child under 5, I'm praying for you. It's an organizational nightmare. It just is constant organization and change. Under the age of 5, for sure under the age of 3, under the age of 3, every 3 months, everything changes. And then you add another kid and another kid. I mean, they have a different size diapers. They wear different foods. They have a different sleep schedule. They're in a different size clothing. It is a constant changing of everything that is basically human needs. Anything that requires, once you have kids in grade school, like, they will wear the same clothes for 12 months. Once they like chicken nuggets, they will like it for 7 years. Like, you know, they will be into pizza and chicken nuggets for a full 7 years. But when they're babies, I mean, they change what they eat every 3 months. They're a different developmental milestone. They're in different toys. They're in different classes. Everything is different. It's just constant. The accumulation stage is constantly acquiring new skills, new stuff, and managing your schedule and your time. It is balancing it all. It is the most exhausting physical time of your life that I have been through is that accumulation stage. The silver lining is you're at home. So while it is exhausting and you have so much to do, when you wake up, if you work from home or whatever, your kids are usually home under the age of 5. So when you are off work and you're at home with the kids, then you can, they're eating and you can be cleaning out a cupboard, or they're playing in the playroom and you can be cleaning out their closet. And you're doing all of that organization around your kids and on the evenings and on the weekends if you're not at home with them during the day, but you're at least at home. Once they get into school, the grade school years are golden. Like if you have kindergarten to fifth grade, like enjoy it. Take a nap. You're gonna need it for when you hit survival. So this is like this golden honeymoon time where they still love mommy. They're learning all these routines. Their organization from school usually will translate over into home. They're more receptive to keeping things in more confined order. And then you hit middle school. And once your first kid hits middle school, put lace on your running shoes because you are now in a marathon until that last one graduates high school. That 6 years, and for however many kids you have, you literally will be on the run, usually in your car. So make sure your car has everything you need, all the cup holders that you need, all those chargers that you need for your phone, you know, extra notepads for all the ideas you have, because you will have a part-time driving job. You'll be driving to sporting events or to school or to private school or whatever. You will be in the car for that 6 years of your life until they become drivers. And then you'll be running around the neighborhood trying not to have a heart attack because they're driving. So you will be running, running, running. It's so abrupt. As soon as your last one gets their driver's license, all of a sudden you have like 20 hours a week and you don't know what to do with yourself because they're off running their own life. And you will be running. That's what I call the survival stage. Now you would love to organize your home, but you can't because you are always in your car. You are off going somewhere all the time. Everything is outside of your house and you're running around. Then I say it's 55 plus. Really, it's any time when your last one leaves the nest and you're back in control of your schedule again, then you're in downsizing and legacy. Okay, fine. I am in charge of my own life again, as I am right now. This is when I just moved my office into Abby's bedroom. I had a hard time with it because I felt guilty that I was moving her out of her bedroom. I shouldn't feel guilty. She has like 1,000-square-foot apartment down there in our basement. But it is different. Like your role as a parent is different. And you're ready for your next act. Like, what am I going to do next? And in each of these phases of life, organization looks different. So organizing in childhood means your bedroom is organized. You have everything where you want it to be. You're organizing all of your memories. You're storing all your school memories. And you're basically learning how to live in an apartment without rent and without any of the other expectations of apartment living. When you're in your 20s and 30s, you're learning to be independent and setting up your own routines. How do you want to celebrate the holidays? What do you want to be your traditions? What is your level of cleanliness that you want to have in your house? What is your decorating style? Like you are, all those things you've been dreaming about for years, you're actually putting into action. In the survival stage, which I feel I am starting to come out of, that is the one that no matter whether you have children or not, it hits you at 40. Like, because my sister doesn't have children. She said, I was right. It hit her the exact same way. There have been many people in our community do not have children. And they said, yep, that 40-year-old thing is a real thing. It is that transition from, okay, I'm not a kid anymore. I have accumulated, whether I had kids or spouses is irrelevant. I've had multiple jobs. But what is it that I'm uniquely created to do? That's what you figure out in your 40s. Like, you know what? I've always wanted to do this and I'm just going to do it. And so the organization that you do in your 40s is mentally eliminating your parents' expectations of you or your dreamy teenage expectations of what your future like would look like, and a more realistic looking of your life of like, here are all the skills I have gathered in my 20s and 30s. Here's what I want to do next. And how do I get out and make that happen? So organization in that phase is where you let go of things like, in my late 30s, that's when I let go of all of those baby things, realizing I was never going to get pregnant and that I was a mom through adoption, and that was the kind of mom I was. It's letting go of all that needlepoint stuff and going, I used to love to needlepoint, but I'm not going to needlepoint for a long time, so I'm going to let go of that. It's letting go of some of those hobbies and things that you've done in the past that you're not going to do in the next part of your life. Another question came in and they said, again, about living an organized life. They said, it really helped me a lot when you said that you could have your house picked up for company in an hour. That made me adjust my expectations of my house. Again, my house is not matchy-matchy. I'm in the process of now figuring out what our next furniture will be for this next phase of life. But in your organized house, first, it is functionally organized. And then the second thing is it company ready? So many of you say that your why for getting organized is you just like to be able to say, hey, come on in to the neighbor or somebody who stops by, or you get a phone call from a friend and they're having a hard day and you just say, well, come on over. Let me make you coffee. Come on over. And they only live 20 minutes away. So you know you have 20 minutes to get the first floor of your house clean and ready. That is living an organized life. Also, when you are getting to this last part of organization, which is partly what I'm going to cover in Sunday Basket 3.0 next week, this is when you're looking around and there have been about 10% of projects and things that you have not finished. We're going to address those next week. So I love this question was submitted in the 100-day program. It was more of a statement than a question. And this person who's been through the 100-day program a couple of times says, I was burning through the program like a wildfire. Then I found a strong, directed, intelligent, cherishable, and loving woman in me. It scared me. I'm still moving forward, but ever so cautiously. The power I have found in myself feels explosive in a good way, but new can feel unfamiliar. I feel like I need to embrace myself and be able to continue forward with my power. I am so used to leaving it behind. I'm not stuck, but I need some sight here. How would I hold on to my power, move forward, not leave myself behind, and trust that it's going to get even better? Do you understand my emotional position? Also, those voices that told me I should have made dinner, cleaned the bathroom, did the laundry, scheduled the doctor's appointments, get my shop together, etc., are not there anymore, because I'm accomplishing all that. So there's this space available in my mind that used to be full. I'm not complaining, but it's not what I expected. I expected to be harder on myself and harder to keep myself organized, but there's actually more flow, more possibility, more creativity. I'm not even becoming the person I thought I wanted to be. I'm not interested in changing myself. I just want to be me, but still I'm afraid of failure. And I think, what if on the next step of the ladder it might break? So it's better to hang on here. Okay, so what I think she's saying there, and I feel the same thing, is there was this book. I think it's Tara. I can't remember her last name. The book is called Playing Big. Playing Big? Tara. I don't remember her last name. I read it a few years ago. And I'm feeling this a lot lately. Like, Organize 365 is growing great. We have this awesome team. But I still have more time. I'm like, I'm homeschooling. How do I even possibly still have more time? First of all, for all of you empty nesters, is this what it's like? Like, we just have like an exorbitant amount of time. And also, I don't look at time the way I used to either, because Laura Vanderkam's book, 168 Hours, You Have More Time Than You Think. Ever since I read that book a couple of years ago, like, I'm always thinking about time in that respect. Like, even if you work 60 hours a week, and you sleep 8 hours a night, which she says most people don't work 60 hours a week, and I don't. I work about 40. I always say I'm working all the time, but it does average out to about 40 hours a week of work. Like, you have like another 80 hours. It's an insane amount of time. And I think to myself, there is so much more. I don't want to waste my brain. I don't want to waste my time. I want to be doing more. And I think what this person is saying is, we are so much more powerful and have so much more potential than we give ourselves credit for. And a lot of us are hidden under our clothing and our groceries and our laundry and our to-do list and all of these other things, because while we say we want more time, what do you do with it when you get it? Like, what do you really do with it when you get it? If I gave you a whole week at home, but all your projects were already done, what would you do? What are you going to do with this time once you get it? And I think that's the big thing. I think the thing that is holding us back is not using our time for the new big projects we're supposed to do. We use it for the little things that maybe don't need to be done at all. So an organized life feels like all of your basic needs are met and all of the things in your house are done. And for some of us, I know for me, like, part of why I became a professional organizer was I didn't want to be done organizing. Like, I really like organizing, so I wanted to organize other people, and I still organize friends. You know, I love that release and the creativity of the organizational process. But what's next? What could I do with that same energy that would impact even more people? And also, what if more of you did the 100-day program and you had this kind of time also? I think part of it is my phase of life, but I also know that other times when I got a hold of my organization, like specifically like when I turned 30, I also was very organized at that time, and I was able to do so much with my time. Freeing up yourself from your physical stuff and your to-do list gives you so much more time. I would love to hear over on Instagram or on Facebook what you are doing with your time as you're living a more organized life, what you feel an organized life looks like. And next week, we're going to talk about these big projects that aren't getting done, even though you now have the time to get them done in Sunday Basket 3.0.